my three favorite forms of creative financing and why. In today's video, we're going to be talking about my three favorite ways to do creative financing. And if you're new to the channel, my wife Mel and I have now purchased over 240 units in 5 different countries: Canada, US, Costa Rica, Mexico, and Dominican Republic. We specialize in doing this with creative financing and OPM, other people's money. If you're new to the channel, make sure to subscribe and hit the bell to be notified because we release a video every single week. Okay, so number one, my absolute favorite is seller financing. Now, I know there's other forms of seller financing where they wrap, you know, a contract around it, or they basically allow you to control the property before owning it. But when I mean seller financing, I truly mean owning the asset, right? Having the deed, having the property under your name or your entity, and having the seller either hold a first mortgage, a second mortgage, or sometimes even 100% of the financing. So let's break down a couple of those different examples. So let's say, for example, the seller is holding a first mortgage. This will look like just like a bank. It'll be basically the lion's share of the financing. So let's say somewhere between 60, 65, 70, 75, hopefully 80% of financing for you, the actual buyer. Let's talk about second mortgage. This is the opposite. This is typically more like your down payment. So for example, if you're getting 75%, let's say, from a local institution or a credit union, there'll be a first place mortgage. And then the 25% in this example, the 25% second mortgage would be from the seller, which will basically be your down payment. And then also there is 100% financing from a seller. Mel and I have done this actually 2 times where we had the seller completely hold 100% of financing, actually even more because they paid closing costs and legal fees, but they held 100% of the actual financing. Now, a couple of different things. Why would someone do that? Okay, and then how do you qualify for this? So the first one, why would someone do that? Well, it has to benefit them. And that's exactly what ends up happening with seller financing. And actually all three of the different creative financings that we're gonna talk about today, it benefits the person that is holding financing for you. So for example, with seller financing, they are most likely to get the purchase price that they are looking for, right? They are able to control the succession planning that they're doing, whether they want to sell it this year, next year, whether they want to take, let's say, a lion's share of the proceeds of the sale in a particular year and maybe hold after that. So again, succession planning can be very good for them. They also make interest on this, which is obviously very attractive, right? They love that. And tax deferral. Now, when I say tax deferral, I'm not saying that they don't have to pay taxes, but when someone holds seller financing for you, they can actually spread that up to 5 years, meaning the portion that they're actually holding for you, instead of paying it all in the year that they actually sold the property, because they did not receive the money, therefore they don't pay the taxes on it, and they can spread it up to 5 years, basically 20% of what they're holding for you every single year for 5 years. How do you qualify for this? Hey, stop the video for a second. I wanted to talk to you about a turnkey income property provider that Mel and I have purchased properties for. Now listen up. If you are looking for an income property, then you don't have the time for it. I have a solution for you that I have invested in myself. They will find the property for you. They will renovate it for you. They will give you a turnkey product and they will get tenants in there for you after screening it and manage the property. Does this sound too good to be true? It is not. I want to introduce you to Rent to Retirement. Okay, we've actually partnered up with them. They are sponsoring this video and they have an exclusive list just for you because you're watching a video from Investor Mel and Dave. So click the link below, go check out this exclusive list, find your next turnkey income property, and book your free call with them so they can go through all the benefits of what they provide. And you'll be investing in properties just like Mel and I. Okay, enough excitement about this. Let's get back to the episode.
This will depend on a deal by deal, seller by seller basis. I have had so many different aspects to this. I have had sellers who were literally, I don't want to say the word worse, but they actually underwrote and stress test and reviewed everything that Mel and I had, even more than financial institutions. So, and this was actually my first one. So my first one, they asked for all sorts of different things that the financial institutions didn't. They actually showed up at my work to make sure that I wasn't lying about my place of employment. And I've had some sellers that I never meet, I never talk to. It's all done through the real estate agents, all done through the lawyers and the attorneys, and it's a mortgage. And yet we make the payments every single month. We pay them out when the term is due, And that's it. So that is number one, seller financing in a quick nutshell. Number two, registered funds or retirement funds. We love using this because a huge portion of the population actually has these in the form of, let's say in Canada, RRSPs, and in the States, 401ks. So these registered and retirement funds can be utilized. These people can lend them out to you in the form of a mortgage, right? Once they're self-directed. So let's do an example, okay? Let's say, kind of like example number one, you can either do a first mortgage or a second mortgage, and there's gonna be a maximum loan to value that they're gonna be able to lend on. However, you get to now choose. So let's say you've negotiated, you found someone, they have registered a retirement funds, let's make it up. They have $100,000 that they're willing to lend to you. They're okay with either a first place mortgage or a second place mortgage that you have negotiated the interest rates on, the term XYZ, okay? So the cool thing is now you get to utilize their funds how you see fit towards a particular deal that they have obviously said yes to. So that's why they do it, because it benefits them. They get to pick the piece of real estate that they're gonna be investing in while making interest. Now let's go back to one of the most important facts that Mel and I love. When we use registered or retirement funds like this, we retain ownership. That is so important to Mel and I. That's why we don't do joint venture partners, and that's why we don't do other types of creative financing other than these three, because we want to have ownership. And with the registered slash retirement funds, it's just like a bank, okay? And I want you to think about that. They put a mortgage on the property. And when I say they, it's the lawyers, the attorneys that do all the work. They put a mortgage on the property, just like the financial institution. You retain ownership and you fulfill the term, right? You make the monthly payments or the annual payments, whatever you end up coming to terms with the actual lender. Pro tip here, you can actually use your own registered or retirement funds to purchase assets in other countries. So for example, if you're in Canada or in the US, you can use those funds to purchase somewhere like Costa Rica or Mexico or Dominican Republic, right? That's a pretty cool thing. Number three, promissory notes. Promissory notes have been such an important part of our investment journey, and I'll dive into the reasons why. Let's go really granular. A promissory note is literally, it's not a mortgage. There's no collateral on the property. There's no security on the property. A promissory note at its core is a contractual agreement between the lender and the borrower, okay? That's pretty much it. Again, I'm not a lawyer, I'm not an attorney, definitely go check it out with them. But for our experience and what we use them for, it's a contractual agreement. Now let's go over the different things that we use them for. We use promissory notes for deposits, right? Let's say you put a deal under contract, you can use it for your earnest money deposit, right? To hold the deal, to make the contract official. Down payments, people always ask, how do you come up with down payments? Well, promissory notes, that's our skin in the game, okay? Financial institutions sometimes want to see that money in your bank account 30, 60, sometimes even 90 days ahead of time. We use promissory notes to have that money in the financial institution to be able to go, here, financial institution, the money has been there for X amount of days that you required, and sometimes that's through a promissory note. Carrying costs, whenever you're purchasing an asset, let's say it's vacant, it's empty, it's a foreclosure, it's power of sale, the previous owner got the place vacant so that you could do renovations and put tenants in. You are going to have carrying costs. And what I mean by carrying costs is you buy the property, the income typically comes from the tenants, okay? The carrying costs are all those expenses associated with running that property. So example, property tax, insurance, utilities, all of those things will still need to get paid, right? Whether there's a tenant in there or not, the mortgage, the utilities, property tax, all of that needs to get paid. So those carrying costs, while you don't actually have a tenant in place paying the bills for you, it can be paid through a promissory note, right, as your carrying costs. Pro tip here, make sure that you calculate this accurately and that you actually have enough carrying costs to get you throughout your renovation or your term that you need in order to put a tenant in there. One of the last things we use promissory notes for are renovations. So for example, if we know we've got a renovation going on, we'll look at raising those funds through a promissory note to get that money, get the place rehabbed, get the place finished so that you can complete your BRRRR if that's what you're doing, or your flip, or whatever type of investment style you're doing. Use a promissory note if it makes sense and if the deal can actually support it. Use a promissory note to actually put the place back together, make it nice, get a tenant in. This is what we do all the time. We never want to use our own money when we're actually renovating or rehabbing a property. So as you can see, promissory notes has so many different ways to make it work. I can't stress enough though, I see a lot of people borrowing a lot of money, and you have to know how you're gonna pay it back before you actually borrow it. So make sure, whether it's seller financing, whether it's retirement or registered funds, or whether it's promissory notes, that you have that exit strategy built in before you touch a penny of someone else's money. All right, so there you have it. Those are my three favorite forms of creative financing. Thank you so much for staying right to the end. I appreciate it. And if you want more content like this, check out this video. I'm Dave from Investor Melon Dave, and I'll see you in the next one.